And if you've ever tripped the light fantastic, you will certainly be in store for another adventure. How long does it take to write a play? A comedy, especially, or a drama. How long does it take for a play to be heard, to be seen, to be felt? And what is the process of which a play becomes a reality? Well, what a unique experience we have before us. Thomas Lanier Williams III, Tennessee Williams Glass Menagerie, The Exonerated by Jessica Blank and Eric Jensen, and Dinner with Marnie by Jennifer Santos. All brought to you by Actors in Action Festival of Stage Readings. Friday and Saturday night, July 20th through August 4th, with the Allentown Public Theater at the America on Wheels Museum, 5 North Front Street in Allentown. And with us here on Lehigh Valley Art Salon, WDIY Allentown, is Jennifer Santos, a good friend and, of course, playwright, and also Felix Mays, who is going to be directing The Exonerated. So we're going to talk about all of those things right now. I am George Miller, and along with my wife and co-host Kate Scuffle, we welcome you both. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
We've all been racing to get here today, it seems.
Yes, we have.
Some of us got here, we've been racing. George just got out of the hospital to be here, so this is a pretty special show.
Oh, is that where I was?
We were talking a little bit earlier. I thought I might start by just reading a quote. Josh Neth, who's the artistic director of Allentown Public Theater and who is in rehearsal at this moment. But I have a quote from him from the press material about the Actors in Action festival, just trying to give a little sense of context. Josh says, Actors in Action is a festival that allows Allentown Public Theater to really focus on the actor's process by putting less emphasis on production. This is especially fruitful for young actors who so often worry about where do I go and what costume am I wearing next versus what do I want and who is this other person on stage with me? End quote. Each of the actors in the festival is given the opportunity to participate in 3 master classes, exposing them to new techniques and new ways to connect to their fellow actors. So as well as playwriting and the focus on playwriters artists, this seems to be very much a festival about allowing the actor the opportunity to explore.
Yes.
Would you say that's a fair?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And I don't think that it should mean that we skimp at all on the production value, because mm-hmm. as a director, that's what we're focusing on. Mm-hmm. But we really want to give our actors the opportunity to explore how to build their own process and how to develop their own characters.
Yeah. And even for older actors and more experienced actors to kind of expand upon their process and kind of even maybe question their process a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Because
mm-hmm.
you don't really learn unless you ask questions.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Of course, at the outset, we're talking about the productions that are at the American, that the
Yes,
Allentown
for
Public
the Actors
Theater.
In Action Festival. Yes.
But I must preface the show by saying that we saw you both in Romeo and Juliet. And
Firebird
Felix,
production.
Yes, a Firebird production. But yes. Felix, you are the most magnificent Juliet I have ever seen.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
And of course, Jennifer, the greatest Romeo that I have seen interpreted in that way. Truly, it was a fine production.
Thank you.
So Allentown Public Theater should be very proud to have you.
I'm very excited to be working with them.
Yeah. I'm very, very thankful.
Mm-hmm. And so it's interesting to me, the classes, there are workshops actually going on
yes.
as you are going through the rehearsal process and the readings. And I was talking to Jen a little bit earlier. The first workshop would have been grounding or kind of
anchoring.
Forgive me.
Anchoring for actors and mm-hmm. performance through monologues, mm-hmm. telling stories. Josh actually taught that one just this past Saturday.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And the upcoming one is all but emoting.
Yes.
Yes.
Can you tell me a little bit about that as well? Jenna studied it.
I studied it when I was in Kutztown University. One of the most educated and one of the highest ranking ABBA emoting professors or teachers, rather. She taught at our university. So she was, we were lucky enough to learn from her.
Yeah.
Basically what ABBA emoting is, it's a scientific, physiological way to produce emotion without mm-hmm. having to resort to emotional recall,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
which sometimes, I mean, as an actor, you know, it can get kind of sloppy
sure.
if you can't mm-hmm. like reel it in. and know when to, like, if you, you know, it's hard.
Yeah.
So basically, without getting too deep into it, ALBA emoting teaches you there's basically seven different types of emotions, or core emotions rather, that are basic to all people, and every other more complicated emotion is kind of mixed from those seven.
Mm-hmm.
And through facial tensions, breaths, different type of breath pattern, and body tension, through all three of those things combined, basically you can kind of produce emotions. And well, it was basically developed by a woman who studied neurology,
okay,
and psychology, Susanna Block.
Uh-huh.
And it developed in Chile, and she noticed that basically all sorts of different chemical reactions that were produced through those three things combined.
Hmm.
So I haven't studied ALBA emoting, but I've heard a lot about it through the process working with Actors in Action, hearing you guys talk about it. And as a layman, it sounds to me, and I think for clarification, help me out here, it sounds like Laban efforts. You know, you cue the body and the body will follow. Is it sort of like that?
Right. I mean, like, they start with, basically when I went through it, they would go through each emotion, and mm-hmm. then we would basically focus on just a little bit at each time, mm-hmm, because... Mm-hmm. It's something you kind of have to be careful about, because mm-hmm. if you physically get yourself into it, you have to know how to you kind of have to know how to find your way out. But it's excellent for actors for body awareness and awareness about other people's body, other people's bodies and their facial tensions, mm-hmm. because we all carry different facial tensions, and you kind of are able to pick up on reading other people so much easier.
And I would think one of the dangers of the emotional recall are kind of more, for lack of a better term, method-based, can be that it's very head-centric rather than body, again.
Right. Which blocks you off from your partner actor, because in emotional recall, they weren't there at that moment. And it may be hard to apply those emotions to the actual moment on stage with your scene partner.
Right. And I mean, I think the same thing could be said for just doing it strictly physically too, but kind of knowing where both are coming from, I find is very, very helpful to kind of get the head and the body and kind of...
Yeah. And just for our audience to know, this is an interesting conversation because, again, Felix, although you're directing in this instance, like Jen, you have an extensive background. Both of you are performers,
yes,
by training as well. Mm-hmm. So we've gone. You go from that kind of storytelling aspect to this kind of combination of kind of head, heart, and emotion here.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And the third weekend, Felix, I understand you're teaching, and Daniel Sotillo as well.
Yes, I will be doing a workshop on improvisation and movement with multiple bodies in space, because it is, you know, a staged reading that we'll be doing, and I won't, though I'm not sure how all of our directors are directing their pieces, as far as blocking and things goes, but with such a time constraint, our actors will have to derive a lot of natural movement very quickly.
Yeah.
And when I just graduated from Muhlenberg College, mm-hmm. I'm very, mm-hmm. very happy about that. And I was really fortunate to take a lot of classes in dance on campus. And one of the things that they really teach is improvisation, and they teach it very well. Mm-hmm. Susan Kreitz, in fact, teaches this class, improvisation for actors and dancers.
Susan.
I will be using several of her exercises in this workshop, as well as a couple of that I've derived myself and bits and pieces that I've taken from other dance classes.
See.
And acting classes as well, and sort of putting them together.
I wish I'd known about this. I should be taking class.
Yeah.
And I think this is really interesting. So the actors are having the benefit of this kind of immersion and masterclass experience.
Right.
And then getting to kind of really quickly take that out on a stage and play around with that in a situation that it makes more sense to me than now the reading situation, because it's very much not about the costumes and the lighting and the rest of all of that at this moment. It's about going out there and using this. Has it been... Given that, I'm curious how the plays were selected, because it's a really interesting range from a classic to a new play by a playwright.
Right. I believe the way Josh explained it to me is he basically wanted to go with a little bit of like a little potpourri, I would guess I would say, where he chose a classic piece, a piece that people would recognize to kind of get people interested, to kind of generate interest, because Glass Menagerie is such an iconic play.
Yeah.
Followed by, he wanted to do a social justice piece,
okay,
which The Exonerated fits in perfectly for a social justice piece. And then he wanted to kind of incorporate new work and kind of make it not just about acting, but also workshopping play.
Sure, mm-hmm. sure.
And that's how my piece sort of fell into the picture.
Yeah, because it's interesting because most times, I mean, stage readings are so often used in that development process when a play may or may not be ready
right.
for the full production level. So it's really interesting, I would think, as an actor to go back and have that chance to apply reading to something like Class Menagerie yes. as well. Yeah.
And that is what Tennessee Williams calls tripping the light fantastic.
Mm. Is that really from him?
Yes, it is.
And so... I don't know where we are in terms of we'll be taking a break soon, but so we may get interrupted here. But Jennifer, a little bit about how your play then came to be the one, and we were talking a little bit earlier about some what inspired you to
yes.
switch gears and actually write.
Well, I've always had kind of a background in comedy, but I've always hated writing. So I would say these things, or I would like, wouldn't it be funny if there's a character who did this? Or I was thinking about a character in the shower the other day that I think would be awesome to do. And they're like, why don't you write? And I'm like, that's boring. And then I would totally lose any kind of interest in whatever I was talking about. So I basically, when I was online one day, I discovered this website called Awkward Family Photos,
right.
where I kind of found the inspiration piece for Dinner with Marnie.
And that's actually, what is, I'm not familiar with the piece. Marnie is sending her family a list of what to
yes,
bring
it was a,
and what to.
It was, yeah, it was a factual list. It was a factual invitation, rather.
Okay.
Where this woman, who named Marnie, basically sent out an invitation for Thanksgiving to all of her family members, itemizing everything for everybody, mm-hmm. what to put it in, what exactly how much, and then degrading members of her family within the letter, passive-aggressively.
Right.
And it's just, what's the deal with this woman? I would I would read the letter to my friends whenever I get excited about something, I have to share it. I would perform the letter for my friends. And I'm like, Jen, that's a character. Jen, that's a character. I'm like, and then the more I thought about it, I was like, what would happen at this dinner? What happened
after
at that
the
dinner?
Letter, yeah.
So it kind of got my head reeling. And one of my friends basically said, Jen, you're going to keep talking about it. You might as well just write it. Just don't talk to me about it ever again until you have it on paper.
And you actually intended it, or as a film, or you envisioned it as a film.
Right.
So the reading, we'll hear a lot of descriptive
right.
scene director, et cetera, et cetera.
Right. Yeah. There's going to be someone on, there's going to be someone on the stage directions, basically, mm-hmm. or rather the scene direct, the film directions.
It'll be a large role for them.
Yeah. It's a lot of description.
And we'll be taking our break in just a moment. We'll come back. I'd like to talk about the three plays and the experience of the festival. So for not only the audience, but it feels like to get them curious from a director's perspective, mm-hmm. how this is like or not like other experiences with directing.
Absolutely.
And, of course, Jennifer, we're going to talk to you more about how the play came to be and how you've created this piece. In a very short time.
And what's next?
The plays will be performed are The Glass Menagerie by Tennessee Williams, directed by Danny Sutil. That will happen July 20th to the 21st. The Exonerated by Jessica Blank and Erica Jensen, directed by Felix Mays, is July 27th and 28th. And Dinner with Marnie by playwright and actor Jennifer Santos, directed by Josh Neff, will be August the 3rd and the 4th. This is Lehigh Valley Art Salon, WDIY Allentown. We'll be right back with you after this salient message.
For program support on WDIY, we thank the Philadelphia Museum of Art, presenting Gauguin, Cézanne, and Matisse, Visions of Arcadia, in which the masters and their contemporaries evoke the bliss of an earthly paradise. On view starting June 20th. Tickets at philomuseum.org.
Welcome back. This is George Miller, and along with my wife and co-host, Kate Scuffle, this is Lehigh Valley Art Salon on WDIY Allentown. Our guests today are Jennifer Santos, the actor and playwright, and I'm just thrilled to be in the same room with someone who did such a fantastic job in a recent character.
Thank you so much.
Felix Mays.
He doesn't get out much.
I know I don't. I really don't. But we want to learn more about what is going on with the Allentown Public Theater productions of Actors in Action, the Festival of Staged Readings, which is coming up very shortly.
Yeah, I was curious to know, everyone's getting to Josh Neth, for instance. We were talking about the cast of Glass Menagerie, which is a great cast. Daniel Sotiel is directing, Elizabeth McDonald as Amanda, Josh Neth as Tom, Cheryl Moritz, his wife is Laura.
And an old friend, Jason Roth.
As the gentleman caller.
Yes. Larry Roth's son.
And at the same time, Josh is directing Dinner with Marnie. And there's a lot of this kind of cross-referencing going on. I understand Felix of the Exonerated kind of being the middle piece meant that you,
yes,
all of you are kind of a life unto your own there, mm-hmm, or a play unto your own.
Yeah, when we were going through our casting, we had to speak ahead of time about the fact that I will not be able to cast anyone that is in any of the other shows. I need a cast of my own because of the rehearsal schedule.
Right.
So it conflicts far too much for me to have anything else. So I have a very specific cast.
And how many people know The Exonerated is a story of six, if you can fill it in for me, but six folks who have been wrongly convicted of murder,
yes,
are eventually exonerated and freed.
Yes.
Are there more than, I'm assuming obviously there are those six. Is it a larger cast than that? I mean, what size, what group are you working
with? It's a cast of nine.
Okay, okay.
And there are four exonerated.
All right.
It's slightly different.
Okay.
And they're all true stories about people who were on death row, their retellings of them.
And that's why I actually opened with the trip, the Light Fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Tom says that of his father. And the father in Glass Menagerie is unusual because he is not a character, but he is a very strong character because he is not.
In his absence.
He is absent. So in all three plays, and I don't know yours as well, Jennifer, but I think that from what I heard, in all three plays, we still have the same prospects in all of these plays. For example, there is a sense of, in some way, hopelessness. There is a sense of fear, of difficulty in accepting reality as it really hits us in the face. The impossibility of true escape and the power of memory. And all of those things are tied together in all three plays in one way or another.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's interesting that it sounds like The Exonerated and Glass Menagerie, you're dealing with a lot of, especially given the workshop environment, really big range of emotions, really high stakes in some cases, memory. And then comedy, which is, the layperson or the audience member doesn't always realize, is a whole other set of skills as well.
It's very stylized.
How long, Jennifer, has it taken you to get together the thoughts and to put together for Dinner with Marley?
Put together the thoughts?
Yeah.
It took maybe
get it on paper.
It took me maybe a week of me hemming and hawing to all my friends, saying, "I have this idea." Then sitting down and doing it. Once I actually sat down and started writing, it took me about a little less than 2 weeks.
Uh-oh.
The only reason it took me that long was probably because I was away from my computer for a week. Because once I sat down and started writing, it really didn't seem nearly as intolerable because it just seemed really interesting because I was like, oh, I have all these little loose ends to tie up.
Mm-hmm.
It really was like improv for
me. That's interesting.
Yeah. Felix, have you written a play?
Yes, I have. I've written, I actually wrote for when I was at Muhlenberg, I was writing a couple of plays. So I have two or three plays that I'm looking to produce in the next couple of years. Yeah.
Oh, great. Super.
Yeah,
interesting. And did you find it daunting or?
Yes.
No hesitation there.
It is a scary, daunting experience when I go to write, partially because I know that the way that I speak in my mind is not the way that people interpret my language on the outside. So when I go to write something down, first thing I think is no one's going to get this. They're not going to understand what I'm trying to say. And I can't do comedy because I don't have a natural sense of humor that works in that way. So I tend to do more, absurdist plays, more like,
I like absurd comedy.
Yeah.
Well, and Jen, you've got a common thread running through a lot of the artists working on this project. Some shared work with Insomniac Theater of Nazareth.
Right.
Another tends to be a strong comic thread. A lot of folks have worked with the Associated Mess, which is associated with Allentown Public Theater. I'm sure you found that, at least for this first venture for you, that would have been helpful. Like you said, it felt like improv.
It did.
There was a certain amount of familiarity there.
When I was writing it, because I was like, basically, I felt myself being a character. It's like, oh, how would they say that?
Right,
how would they react to this? Right. Oh, how can I tie these ends together? Well, they talked about this before, so I have to bring this back. When you learn about improv, especially long-form improv, it's all about coming full circle and tying everything together, and everything should be in a cute little little circular basket. Everything should be no loose ends. So it was really an interesting kind of challenge thinking about in terms of improv. It kept me going. I was like, oh, this can be fun.
Yeah.
But putting in hands, like putting it in Josh's hands, and then several other associated mess members who are in it, Daniel's in it, Matt Candio, Jen Kurtz. If I'm missing somebody, it's only because I'm blanking. But all of my associated mess, my teammates, they're very trustworthy, funny, funny people. And I'm very, very lucky to have them involved.
So this will be interesting for us. So range for an audience, the way it'll play out, it's not as if one's going to come in and spend an afternoon, obviously, and see all three plays. If people are interested, I really strongly suggest that they go to the Allentown Public Theater website at www, of course, Allentown Public Theater, and that's theater re.com, because there's a couple different combinations of packages for ticket prices and such.
Yes.
And strongly, and to encourage you to share in seeing all three pieces, I think it'll be interesting for people to see different actors in different kinds of pieces.
Right.
They're all going to be very, very different experiences.
Yeah. And you are actually in yours, Jennifer.
Yes.
Are you playing Marnie?
I am.
So you got to write the play and be the character.
Yes.
Which is how the character really kind of started the play.
Part of the, one of my favorite joys about comedy is kind of being able, and like writing comedy, is being able to write the stuff that I want to do and part creating the parts that I would want to play as a comedic actress.
Yeah.
And I think, if anything, I know I've accomplished creating several ridiculous parts for women at very, very least.
Always good.
So it's exciting for me.
Always
have
valued.
Do you desire, Jennifer, to direct?
Somewhere down the line, I believe so.
Yeah.
I appreciate directors, but also I appreciate them because they do something that's very, very scary and very, very stressful.
And Felix, I don't know how often you've directed or how much you enjoyed or what kind of role it plays in your life. Do you think that's a fair assessment?
Sometimes I do. Yes. It's just a very different job depending on how much, an actor gives to their directors and how much a director gives to their actors. I'm very much of the mindset that the director gives you your A to your D and the actor fills in all the spaces in between.
Yeah.
And I really enjoy directing. But when I am an actor, I'm usually thinking from a director's standpoint and thinking about the image of the show and the image of my body in space.
Interesting.
So I really tie them all together. I don't treat it as a very different experience.
Yeah,
as a director, I tend to think the same way. How can I make the job as easy for my actors as possible without giving them everything to do?
Sure.
I have my concept. I know what I want, and I want to make it easy for them to understand what I want to be seen.
And how do you feel in terms of with what we'll be seeing on stage here with this, how far does it go? How much different is it than a fully costumed lit production? I mean, I would think, my assumption is it will be those technical elements that are not of import to this process, but you're still blocking.
Yes.
People are on script.
They will be on script.
There'll be movement in space. Mm-hmm. There's still the same intention of character work and building.
And I think that technically it'll still be, I have my show, I'm planning on lighting it normally, and there are sound effects, there are a lot of sound effects and exonerated explosions and cars and gunshots and things like that. But so technically it will still be as
engaging
as we can make it in our time constraints.
Yeah.
And I think that's really what it's about with the staged reading, is seeing how far we can get in a very short period of time. Making it really good quality, well put together productions in 2 weeks.
And we're running out of time, unfortunately, here, but I am sure to let you wrap up. But I just do want to point out, I think given all this, if you have an interest, it's lovely. All these pieces are going to be followed by a talkback opportunity.
Yes.
And I can't think of a more interesting kind of project for people who have not perhaps done this but enjoy theater to have a wonderful chance to chat with the artists about process.
Right? And I should state that with the talkbacks for the exonerated, we will have actual exonerees participating in our talkbacks.
Okay.
As well as law specialists and people who are closer to the actual material, which is very exciting for us.
Incidentally, the Allentown Public Theater is a nonprofit organization with the goal of forming a resident professional company of actors who live in Allentown and perform year-round. or more information about this, you can get send an email to info@allentownpublictheater.com. For more information on the play itself, it's the just festival. Simply, yeah, the festival is simply Allentown Public Theater. And that is, of course, The Glass Menagerie by Tennessee Williams, The Exonerated by Jessica Blank and Erica Jensen, and Dinner with Marnie by Jennifer Santos. It has been a joy speaking with you. And we say to Allentown Public Theater and Josh Neff out there somewhere and everyone who is acting and directing or performing with them that thank you for making theater such a joy in the Lehigh Valley.
Thank you so much for being with us tonight. Thank you so much for having me.
Next up on Lehigh Valley Art Salon, At the Movies, a review of a current film with Paul Willistein of the Press.
When in Rome, do as the Romans do. Director Woody Allen's latest film, To Rome with Love, rewrites that sage advice to wit, when in Rome, continue acting like an American. Woody Allen assembles an American and international cast for the generically titled To Rome with Love. His latest romp through European capitals, To Rome with Love, is an often amusing film which has at its center a hilarious gambit involving an Italian funeral director who sings opera in his shower. Suffice it to say, it's among one of the funniest visual gags since Allen's 1973 Sleeper. Essentially, To Rome with Love is sketch comedy, and the storylines are a little sketchy. The concept gives Allen a platform for his joke book in which leper colony is still a punchline. To Rome with Love harks back to the offhand ease of Allen's A Midsummer Night sex comedy from 1982 as Allen juggles, sometimes successfully, sometimes not, at least five storylines, not necessarily in the order of importance. There's Haley, played by Allison Pill, who falls in love with Michelangelo, played by Flavio Parenti. Haley's parents are Jerry and Carol, played by Woody Allen and Judy Davis, respectively, who have some of the film's funniest lines. There's Millie, played by Alessandra Mastronardi, on her honeymoon with Antonio, played by Alessandro Tiberi. There's Antonio's father, Giancarlo, played by opera tenor Fabio Amiliato. There's Jack, played by Jesse Eisenberg, who lives with Sally, played by Greta Gerwig. There's Monica, played by Ellen Page, an out-of-work actor on vacation. There's Roberto Benigni as Leopoldo, who becomes famous for no apparent reason. There's Anna, a prostitute, played by Penelope Cruz, who seems to know every wealthy man in Rome, in the biblical sense. There's Luca Salta, a famous Italian movie star, played by Antonio Albanese. Looking around in the magic realism sense is Alec Baldwin, an architect on vacation. His placement in the film is odd. He's sort of a one-man Greek, or in this case, Roman chorus, as the omnipotent observer. While To Rome with Love is not major Woody, even a minor Woody Allen comedy is a welcome relief at the cinema, especially in the summer. To Rome with Love is MPAA rated R for some sexual references. At the box office July 6, The Amazing Spider-Man, as expected, opened big at number 1, with $140 million since the July 4 holiday. To Rome with Love and Moonrise Kingdom continue at Civic Theater of Allentown and the Arts Quest Cinema at Steel Stacks. Opening July 13 is Ice Age Continental Drift. Manny, Diego, and Sid are off on another adventure after an iceberg splits off and drifts off. Ray Romano and Dennis Leary are again heard from in the animated family adventure comedy. This week, we're dedicating the movie review to TV star and movie actor Andy Griffith, who died July 3rd at 86, and Ernest Borgnine, who died July 8th at 95. I'm Paul Willistein of the Lehigh Valley Press at the movies for WDIY.